Well, today we are wrapping up our month of prayer and fasting, and the title of my message today is Where the Rubber Meets the Road. Because we can spend all month praying, but if something doesn't happen, sometimes we kind of go, why not? Right? And honestly, what we need to remember is that there always has to be an act of obedience when it comes to our prayers. A lot of you know that I didn't always want to be a pastor. In fact, a pastor was the furthest thing from what I ever wanted to become. I wanted to be a corporate lawyer, not because of honorable things where I wanted to protect Christian charities or anything like that. I wanted to find people with lots and lots of money and power and take their money so that I could win in court. That was what I wanted to do. And so then I reluctantly went on a missions trip because I felt like I needed to, so I obeyed. And then on the way back, as many of you are aware, I'm driving in the back of my, I was riding in the back of my parents' minivan, looking out the window and suddenly had a realization and went, ah, crap, I think I'm called into ministry. those words, right? And so usually I kind of leave the story there. Maybe I'll throw in a little bit about Embry and things like that. But what I don't often share is I spent 6 months to a year after that going, are you sure? You really? No. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. No. All right. But eventually, based on the fact that I am here and I'm not rolling in the dough and I'm not stuck up and I don't think I'm stuck up. Anyways, all of that, obviously I decided that I would actually follow through on these things, right? And I wonder today, for those of you that during this month of prayer and fasting have been praying into things, whether it's a prayer request for our church or something that's going on in your life, if God prompted you to be praying into something, well, first of all, if he prompted you, did you pray into it? That would be my first question. Right? Have you stepped into that thing? But while you were praying, did you leave room for God to actually speak at all? Because I know sometimes we want something to happen and we start just talking and talking and talking. And sometimes I think that God is sitting there and he's just like, if you would shut up for a second, I have something I'd like to say. A little bit of direction, please. Right? So did he give you something? Did he say, I need you to go and do this? Well, okay, let's step into this. If he did you ask him, like, when you should do that? How it should work? Here's the question. If he said, I need you to go right now and do this, did you do it? Did you? See, I think a lot of us can fall into this trap of thinking that prayer in many ways is a passive activity. That we pray about something, Santa Claus in the sky arranges things so that that thing happens for us, and then we all go home happy, right? And then maybe we get a little frustrated because it doesn't work out that way. We don't get what we wanted. Maybe you're joining us online or you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Jesus follower. And maybe some of it's because you're like, you guys talk to the air and nothing happens. You don't do anything. You don't change anything. What's the point of it all? And I hope today that if that's you, as I speak about prayer and fasting where the rubber meets the road, that you will begin to understand that maybe the failing isn't Jesus. Maybe the failing is that we're not following through on his commands. See, I truly believe that prayers of faith can change things. But at some point, where the rubber meets the road is not when we're on our knees, but what we do when we get off our knees. For some of us, what we really need to hear is you need to get on your knees and pray. But for others of us, what we really need, especially after this month of prayer and fasting, is to understand that at some point, if you're wearing out your knees but not your shoes, there's a problem. And so as we step into the scripture that I want to unpack for you today, why don't you just join me in bowing your heads? And I think it's important that we pray here today. Lord Jesus, I ask that that you would encourage those that have been praying, that you would encourage those who maybe haven't seen the outcomes that they're looking for, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage them that you are a good Father, that you love them, that you want what's best for them and for them, not only in this world, Lord God, but over it all is eternity. The eternal picture is the thing that we always need to be looking to begin to grasp what it is that you do in us and for us and through us. And so Jesus, as we listen, as we learn today, I ask that you would take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you would make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to take you to a book of the Bible called Luke. Now, as you can imagine, Luke wrote this book. All right, now Luke was a physician, he was a historian, and in fact the beginning of the book tells us that his purpose behind this book was he had a patron who wanted an accurate account of the things that Jesus had done, and so Luke went out and he got eyewitness accounts from a whole bunch of people, compiled it all together. We believe as Christians, through the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, he laid out this account of Jesus' work and ministry. And so today we come to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 4 here. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, all right? And he says this, no matter how many times in one day your brother sins against you and says, I'm sorry, I am changing, forgive me, you need to forgive him each and every time. Now, how many of you do that? Every time. You know, another one of the biblical authors, they record this same interaction, and Jesus kind of, they go a little bit deeper into it, and it ends up being that the number is like 70 times 7, which is essentially infinity, right? It's like 490 times. You know, how many times do I need to forgive them? Unending. If they come to you, forgive them. Over and over and over again. Forgive them. Don't stop, right? And so Jesus has given this very pertinent command. But I don't know about you. See, I saw a lot of people like, yeah, obviously I'd do that. So I want to paint a picture for you. Okay? Somebody comes over to you and they stomp on the top of your foot. Oh, I'm sorry. And they move away and then they come back and they stomp on your foot. Oh, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you. And then they come back and they stomp on your foot. How many times before forgiveness isn't there and you deck them? Right? See, we like to think, oh, I'm spiritual. Yes, I will forgive many, many times. Listen, I remove your foot. With a knife? Oh, gotcha. Okay. So anyways, you know, so we have a hard time sometimes contextualizing this. But there's a radical nature behind this. And what's interesting, in a lot of translations, the reason we're reading out of the Passion Translation today is because the Passion Translation, the New King James, and the King James Bibles, they add a connecting word, or they go off of manuscripts that have a connecting word here, and most modern translations ignore it, and so we miss what happens, okay? So, how many of you have heard that thing, you know, the disciples asked Jesus, oh Lord, increase our faith. And he says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Well, okay, so we just finished with this instruction on forgiveness, right? Here's the next verse. Upon hearing this, the apostles said to Jesus, Lord, you must increase our measure of faith. It's a little different. This isn't a new section. This is a continuation. The New King James and King James, they say and or but. When you see and or but or therefore or henceforth or conversely or any of those types of things, they're connectors. They're saying what came before is linked to what comes afterwards. And so Jesus says, listen, I tell you the truth. If somebody comes to you 7 times in the day and is like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again. Will you forgive me? You say, I forgive you. They do it again. No matter what, you got to do this. And the disciples, they're like, I don't like that. God, that's hard. No way. Right? There's an objection here. I don't want to. In fact, if you really understand at this stage in Jesus's ministry with these disciples, their background, I really actually feel like if they were today, they probably wouldn't have been like, Lord, you must increase our measure of faith. I feel like there's a few words that we don't say in church that these guys might have been whispering under their breath, you know, like, no way. No stinking way is this going to happen, Lord. Don't you understand? Like that guy down the street, he was supposed to pay me for the fish that I got for him. And he ripped me off. And then he came back the next day and he wanted me to give him more fish. I'm not giving him more fish. Forget it. I need more faith if you're going to have me do that. And so what does Jesus do? Verse 7, Jesus continued, after a servant has finished his work in the field or with the livestock, he doesn't immediately sit down to relax and eat. No, a true servant prepares the food for his master and makes sure his master is served his meal before he sits down to eat his own. Does the true servant expect to be thanked for doing what is required of him? So, learn this lesson. After doing all that is commanded of you, simply say, we are mere servants, undeserving of special praise, for we are just doing what is expected of us and fulfilling our duties. So, there's a word that I use to describe what Jesus just did here, okay? It's called rebuke. And it looks like Jesus is just teaching, doesn't it? If we remove things. But get this. He's their master. We're told in Scripture that we are slaves of Christ, right? So we're adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God when we serve Jesus, when we choose to follow him, but we are also called slaves of Christ. You can have one of two masters. You can serve the devil, knowingly or unknowingly, or you can serve Christ, all right? And I'm not talking like slavery in the Americas type of slavery. I'm talking slavery as in like a bond servant, someone who owes it all to someone. And so they become that person's servant and wait on them. They're in the household of the king, serving the king because they owe him everything. Okay. And so Jesus gives this hard command and the disciples are like, we don't have enough faith for that. And so does Jesus say, oh, you're right. Sorry, that was too hard of a command. No, right before this, he says, listen, you don't need much faith to do this. Instead, what does he tell them? You just got to do what's expected of you. Just obey. Like, it's kind of simple when you put it that way, isn't it? Why would God, that's not fair. I don't like it. So are you in charge? Right? Like, that's kind of what I hear Jesus saying here. He's like, oh, it's hard. I get it. But you understand that, like, it's a command and you just need to do it, right? Just do it. Maybe that's where Nike got it. Just do it. Just go and do it. What I love about Scripture is you've got this here, right? So you've got the simple but actually hard command. It goes into the disciples just being human, right? No way, Lord. That's too hard. Goes into Jesus being like, well, actually, it's pretty simple. You might not like it, but it's pretty simple, right? But it doesn't end there. There's another story that, yet again, we're really bad, right? Because we have these things that if we actually read more than a couple verses in a day, we would start to see these connections. But because we're like, I've got 5 minutes and I want to be a good Christian, so I'm going to read the Bible for 2 minutes and then pretend to pray for 3 minutes. You know, we think that we're going to get enough in here. But listen, so all this finishes. And then listen to the story. This is immediately after, okay? We just finished reading verse 10. Let's go to verse 11, shall we? Jesus traveled on toward Jerusalem and passed through the border region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one village, 10 men approached him, but they kept their distance for they were lepers. So lepers, if you're not aware, it was a very contagious skin disease, kind of something, a banner term for the day, but it was extremely contagious and it would cause rot and a loss of feeling eventually to different extremities. And so oftentimes people would be losing parts or would have lost parts of their body because if you can't feel it, and it's rotting anyways. They might stick it in a fire and not realize. It might get run over. They might lose limbs. It might just rot off, right? So these guys were, it was hard to look at them. People were freaked out by them. By law, they could not be in the community. They had to actually stay away. And if they came into town, they had to go unclean. Unclean. Like, seriously, back then, if you were at in line for Ticketmaster or something like that, and you yelled unclean, you could just go straight to the front of the line. It was great. But anyways, I digress. So there they are. There's these 10 guys. They're lepers, right? And so they shout to Jesus. They know who he is. Mighty Lord, our wonderful master, won't you have mercy on us and heal us? I don't know about you. That kind of sounds like a good prayer, doesn't it? God, mighty Lord, wonderful master, won't you have mercy on me and do this thing for me? So what does he do? When Jesus stopped to look at them, he spoke these words. Be healed. Go to be examined by the Jewish priests. Then they set off and they were healed when? Walking along the way. In other words, they were healed when they obeyed. When they obeyed. You got to understand, they're going to have to go into town. They're going to have to suffer all the looks. Never mind the fact that they're going to show up to the priest and they're leaving Jesus and they still have leprosy. And you know when you were supposed to go to the priest? It's when you didn't have leprosy. If you go to the priest and you have leprosy, he's going to look at you and go, "Why are you here?" But they obeyed. And on the way, as they were walking out the obedience towards what God had revealed to them in response to their prayers, what happened? They were healed. They were healed. Isn't that significant? Have you ever tied that to what came before? That the disciples are like, "Lord, forgiving someone? That's too much. We need more faith." And then they're walking down the road and they come across 10 lepers. And they're like, "Oh, you want us to go see the priest? Well, okay." And they go. Which one's harder? Who had more faith? You know? Man. Sometimes I think that all God wants us to do is pray and wait, but other times he just wants us to obey. My dad and my uncle Joe are here today, and they used to go hunting a lot together. And I've heard this story many, many times, and yet we'll still probably get it wrong, but it's okay because it's a hunting story, which means that it's probably been exaggerated about 100-fold anyways. Not as bad as a fishing story, though, for any fishermen in the room. Those are the really bad ones, right? So my dad and my uncle, they would go up to the Atlin, BC area to go moose hunting. And on one particular occasion, as they were driving up, my uncle, he's a former pastor, former missionary to the northern BC regions and all of that. And so they're driving up to go moose hunting. And Joe turns to my dad and he says, "God told me we're getting a moose." Now, if you've ever moose hunted, you know you probably aren't going to get a moose, right? So they're out there and they're hunting and they're there for a few days. And no, God told me that we're going to get a moose, and they're not seeing moose. You know, they're not getting their moose. And no, like I was praying and God told me we're going to get a moose. Well, their hunting trip is over and they're in the truck and they're driving home. And my Uncle Joe's like, "No, God told me that we're going to get a moose." And, you know, my dad at this point is going, "Okay, Joe, we're driving home. We're not going to get a moose." He's like, "No, we're going to get a moose. Like I believe it. God told me." So anyways, as you do when you're making a 24-hour drive from northern BC down to southern BC, you have to stop for some rest breaks and all of that. And so they pulled off onto this one area to go and use the washroom and all of that. And so they were using the washroom, and my dad got on his quad, and he began zipping all around on his quad and everything. And all of a sudden, he comes back to the truck, and there's a moose laying dead at the tailgate of the truck, and his nephew's sitting there with a rifle. And he's like, "What happened?" Moose just happened to walk up while my dad was on his quad. So they got their moose. God was faithful. Now, here's the thing, though. The way that a lot of us pray, here's how it would have happened. Joe would have been praying. God tells him, you're going to get a moose. And Joe goes, Ron, don't worry about it. We're going to get a moose. Let's find the nicest hotel. Right? Let's rent a boat and go fishing. And we're going to have a moose. Right? Isn't that how we pray sometimes? Right? God, I need this thing. Help me to do well at work. Whew, it's a good thing God's going to help me do well at work. So let's just lip off at our boss. Let's not make any effort to change. I could, the washrooms are dirty, but I don't really want to do that. I'm not going to clean it. That's fine. Somebody else will do that, but I'm going to do well at work. I'm going to get that promotion. You picking up what I'm laying down here? Right? There's a story. I'm going to change it because some people get upset when I tell this story. So I'm going to change the details of the story just a little bit. Okay. So there was an individual and he really, really, really wanted to go to the Calgary Stampede. Really wanted to go. But he'd heard that tickets were really tight, that there weren't a lot of tickets. And so he got on down on his knees and he was like, God, I need tickets to the Calgary Stampede. He got up, went through his day, nothing happened. So he got down on his knees again. He's like, God, the lines are long. There's not enough tickets to go around. I hear it's pretty short. I need tickets to the Calgary Stampede. Well, the day of the Calgary Stampede shows up and the guy is like sitting by his mailbox. Tickets are going to show up. I've been praying faithfully. I have faith, all this. And tickets don't show up. Day two of the Stampede, tickets don't show up. Finally, the Stampede's over, and he's like, God, I was praying. Why didn't you help me? And so an angel appears to him and says, dude, you could have at least gotten in line to buy a ticket. Right? Like, sometimes we just got to go and put in the work, and sometimes we're listening for God to tell us what we need to do. Okay, so some of us, that's not the issue. We're listening for it, but here's the issue. More often than not, what we need to do is not some sort of command that God directly reveals to us. It's already in the book. It's already in the Bible, and all you had to do was read it and go, oh! Right? God, I really want more friends. Will you bring more friends my way? What does the Bible say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, strength, and what? Mind and love. Love your neighbor as yourself. God, I really want more friends. That guy, he cut me off in traffic. I'm going to follow behind him. I'll show him what. I'll show him what that is, right? Hey, do you want to come out and get some wings with me later on today? You know, I don't really like wings. I don't like him either. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? But God, give me friends. Do what's in the book. So when the rubber meets the road, we need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be praying boldly into big things. And we need to be listening for God's voice. But when push comes to shove, when the rubber meets the road, if we're not out there doing the things that we're commanded to do, why on earth do we think that God is going to do it for us? Does he put the cereal in your mouth in the morning? Does he cook you your steak for dinner? Now, he might provide you a moose to have steak for dinner. How are you obeying? And I do want to point out, okay, because we usually start our month of prayer and fasting with a message where I talk about, like, what about when God doesn't answer our prayers? Because sometimes it seems that way, right? And there's a whole host of reasons why sometimes that's the case. But let me kind of briefly go over here, like literally 30 seconds, okay? When you pray, There are three answers that you may receive. Yes, I love yes, except when I don't. No, and now's not the time or you're not ready yet. Okay? All of these are answers from a loving, perfect, heavenly Father who sees what you're going through now, and when things are tough, his heart breaks for you. But he also sees the bigger picture, and he knows that today is but a speck on the eternal line of our existence. And so in the grand scheme of things, the suffering in this moment is nothing new. We're called as people who are going to follow Jesus. What does Jesus say? Pick up your cross, not the pretty one, the ugly one, and follow me. Pick up this instrument of gruesome torture and death, because that may be your lot in life if you follow me. Whoever desires to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven must be least. For the least will be greatest. Imagine that. But this is nothing new. Jesus is the suffering servant that the prophet Isaiah tells us about. Jesus is the one who went to the cross for us. Jesus understood obedience. And listen, this is the crazy thing. Because if you try to grasp who God is, Scripture reveals that God is one. There is one God who is eternally coexistent in three eternal, co-equal, co-substantive persons. Father, Son, who is Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And everyone's mind breaks. Praise God that I can't understand God. And yet within the Godhead, there is a subservience. Somehow, God, who is one in three persons who have equal desire and equal substance and equal being, the Son submits to the Father. And so listen to the Apostle Paul, that great early church missionary who wrote so much of what we call the New Testament in the Bible today, his letter to the church in Philippi, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord, Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. Jesus obeyed first. Jesus submitted first. Jesus sacrificed first. And so when the Master calls us his servants and says, I need you to do this, we don't do it to earn God's favor. We don't get it to earn God doing something for us. We do it out of obedience for the one who loves us and sacrificed for us, the one who we have committed to serve and follow. And we, as sons and daughters and servants, we don't say, why, Lord? We don't say, nah. We say, as you wish. And it is amazing what happens when God's people in faith respond in obedience. You're saved by faith through God's grace alone. And this is done so that no one may boast, no one can earn their salvation. But understand that when we receive salvation, we are saved as unto good works that have been prepared for us ahead of time. And so when we're praying, if we're not obeying the words of Scripture, if we're not putting feet to the good news of Jesus, if God gives us a word and we ignore it, then we cannot say, my God is not faithful.
what we must say is, I need the courage to obey. Heavenly Father, today I pray for each and every one of us to have the courage to obey. I pray for each and every one of us to not be people who are spiritual cowards, but that we would be spiritually brave and bold. That you would give us courage, Lord, to step into the things that have been confirmed by your Spirit in our hearts that we need to be doing. That we would truly be faithful to obey the commands that you have given us, not to earn your favor, but to enact your power on earth, bringing your kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. I feel today like we need to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Right now in this place, I just encourage you to ask God if there's something that he's been knocking at your heart, asking you to do that you've been ignoring. Ask him right now, God, have I been so wrapped up in the busy pace of life or in the things that have been going on or maybe just so against the thing that you're calling me into that I have been ignoring you, that I haven't been stepping out in faith? And if he brings something to mind, listen, don't wait on it. But instead, pull out your notebook, pull out your phone. Okay, I'm not going to judge you if you do that, but pull out your iPad or just grab the pen from the seat in front of you and scrawl it on your palm if you need to. But write down what he's telling you you need to do so that you can pray into it if there's more prayer needed, or you can act on it if there's something that needs to be acted on, or so that you can read that Bible passage when you get home. Whatever it might be, ask him to speak to you so that you can act today, so that in this month of prayer and fasting, as it comes to a close, that the rubber can actually meet the road, that you're no longer on blocks spinning your wheels, but you can actually grab hold of the asphalt and begin to go into the things that God has released for you to step into. And while you do that, while everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around, I just want to give an opportunity today, as we've come to understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. He died for our sins. He paid the price that we owe to God for being people who fall short of his glorious, perfect standard that he created us to exist within. If you're here, if you're online, and you've been engaging with us today, and something in your spirit, something in your stomach, you've got butterflies, things are cramped up, you're just feeling strange, I want you to know that's not the tacos you ate last night. That is the Holy Spirit of God prompting your spirit right now to say yes to Jesus and what he did for you. And so in this place here today, if you're in the house and you're saying to yourself, I want to follow this Jesus. I haven't been following him. I haven't given my life to him, but today I'm giving my life to him. I'd encourage you, just raise your hand today, because we want to invite you to start this journey with us online. Just say in the comments there, I'm in. And if you say that, we're going to be thinking about you as we pray this prayer together. And I want you to know that this prayer that we pray here today, it is nothing magical. But it does something within our hearts that helps us to solidify the work of Jesus in our lives. And so all around this room, will you all pray this with me? And just know, if you're praying this from your heart, the work has already been done. You are already a follower of Jesus. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Jesus, thank you for being willing to go to the cross for me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. I believe that you're still at work, that you are alive. Today I give you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me with your love. I commit to follow you for the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I fall down, when I mess it up, You don't leave me, but you pick me up. You dust me off. You hold my hand and you walk with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart today, I want to welcome you to the family of God, the journey that we're on here in-house. You can grab that connect card in front of you and check off the box as well that says, I just gave my life to Jesus. Al's going to be heading over into the back there again. And if you give that to him, we have a Bible and some devotional resources. We would love to get into your hands online. Go to ascc.life, tap on, I just gave my life to Jesus. And we'll be following up with you to get resources into your hand and help you get plugged in. Everyone, I hope that you enjoy your warm Sunday. Bobby is going to be available at the front for the next 5 or 10 minutes to pray for anyone that needs prayer today. And otherwise, everyone, let's not just be dismissed. Let's be dismissed into the work that God has for each and every one of us in the world. Amen.